Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but that's okay. We got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789.
My eyeliner is coming in as we speak, man. My fingernails are turning black.
Hey, man. I was a Fall Out Boy fan all... like, this was, I believe, from Under the Cork Tree.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Fall Out Boy's second album was the first album that I ever purchased as a kid.
Sure.
I got to... forget what it was. It was like something related to school. You like sold all the stuff.
Yeah.
And you got the yeah. So I got that as a credit, and I went and bought the album, and it was great. Much played throughout cars in high school and everything as well. So it is, yeah. I've seen them in concert. One of the best live groups that I've seen.
Oh, without a doubt, man.
Like I think I was only like 14 or 15 years old when my older brother first took me to
Warped Tour, dude. It was
No. This was at the Eagles Ballroom.
Okay.
In the rave.
So it sounded terrible, but no. I bet it was excellent.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was it was Hey Monday, All Time Low, and Fall Out Boy.
Did you go to that Cage show in like what? I don't know. Oh, it'd been like 2007. Cage the Elephant over at...
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
Man, we could have been in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, almost. But this first concert, like, I didn't know what to expect. And at the rave, it's all just a giant open floor and there's a lot of mosh pit and stuff like that. And I was young and I did not stay hydrated. And so, like, I almost passed out from dehydration, I think.
That place gets hot.
Yeah, it was very hot. And Fall Out Boy was the last act. And I had to, like, leave and come back. And I was surprised that I was able to find, because I was still towards the front. My older brother had to have been, I don't know, 18, 19, 20 years old at the time. And so I just had to find him and his friend. Luckily, he's got a friend that's like 6.5 feet tall and sticks out like a sore thumb when you're in a crowd full of people. It's really easy to find my brother that way with his friends. But folks, you are listening. We go on tangents sometimes here at Dueling Tangents. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM in Wausau, and locally grown radio 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids. We're talking about the remnants of the Gableman charade. But before we dive back into that story, going to head over to the phone lines. We got our friend Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what is on your mind today?
Well, maybe Underground Michaels, maybe he thinks he can annex the state of Wisconsin into Connecticut. There's something along those lines. I don't know. As much time as he spends there, not here.
I don't know if he's going to annex us over there, but I have a feeling that he's going to want to move the governor's mansion at the very
probably.
Least if he wins.
Probably. But the other thing with him is, you know, he kind of maybe learned this from that really tough guy that stood up to the crowds unintimidated from down in the steam tunnels, Scott Walker.
Yeah, you know,
I'm in the steam tunnels.
These guys are really something. And yet Walker, I mean, Clayfish is down with the guy right away. I mean, there's no hard feelings there. So why isn't he out on the trail with her? Or why isn't he out on the trail with Trump? Oh, that's right. He scrubbed him from all of his stuff and yeah.
He put him back though after he scrubbed him. So it was
people called him out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, they're still deciding of how to play the Trump endorsement. It's an interesting. Maybe that is what it is, Dick. Maybe they're licking their wounds, trying to figure out some strategy around how to appeal like a moderate after being endorsed and running as a Trump endorsed candidate in the primary.
Yeah, that could be it too. And then you know, with him too, he just everything across the board is just kind of weird about him, I think. But you know, hopefully. It doesn't work, but my goodness, this not being in sight for what, a week now? That was a week ago? And then
a week ago he won, and he made one public appearance at the Wisconsin State Fair on Thursday. I don't know how long he was even there, though, Dick. He might have been, you know, heading back. He went to Milwaukee or went to West Allis where the state fair is held and then hopped on a plane shortly thereafter on Thursday.
I bet he had a chopper sitting on the grassy knoll behind the stage. He was ready to bounce.
No, that thing's full of cars all parked at the Milwaukee Mile there. Appreciate the call, Dick. You have a great rest of your day. You can be like Dick. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. It's definitely an interesting dynamic. I don't know if the scary part is that it could work here in the state of Wisconsin. It could. It being out of sight, not doing a whole lot of public campaign events, but spending a lot of money on, because we're going to expect that. The money is going to be spent in this general election. There is going to be a ton of it spent on digital, on television, on radio ads. Like, those are all going to be places where Tim Michaels can use his wealth to be able to put a message out there, trim it down to 30 seconds to maybe a minute of him either clean-cut shaven or not clean-cut shaven, driving around a truck, walking through crowds, things of that nature. Very polished image that he can just put out there and not have to go on that many campaign events and potentially still win. I don't think that it's a good political strategy. I don't. It seems more out of touch than just the fact that you spend half your days in Connecticut, or excuse me, 182 instead of the 183 days in Connecticut, or whatever the Tim Michaels campaign is going to tell us, his residency. However, they're going to answer that residency question. But it's definitely interesting. And he's an empty suit, Dick. That's what it comes down to. He is an empty suit that he wants you to be able to project whatever your views of what you want Tim Michaels to be as a candidate onto him. And he wants to do as little work as possible. And it's either because he's running scared, or he's lazy, or he just doesn't know how to run as a moderate when he was endorsed by Trump in the primary and he hasn't really nailed down concise policy views on a number of issues. And he's flip-flopped throughout the primary, and we don't really know where the guy stands because he's not out in public talking to the public about these things. So appreciate the call, Dick. You can be like Dick. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. You're listening on the Civic Media Network, Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, that's 98.9 FM, as well as locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM. But back to the other story that I want to get to is the lingering aspect of Michael Gableman's charade now that he has been fired. And the interesting aspect is there are still a number of court cases that were being pursued by the Office of Special Counsel before Gableman was fired. So we got a writing by Mitchell Schmidt over at the Wisconsin State Journal. While taking oral arguments in one of four open records cases filed by liberal watchdog group American Oversight against the review that had up until Friday been headed by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, Dane County Circuit Court Judge Frank Remington noted the numerous, quote, gaps in information pertaining to the review, including how Gableman searched for requested records and the identity of a still unknown staffer employed by the office last year. Gableman was fired from the review on Friday. So we still don't know the entire team that Gableman had working for him last year. We don't know the mishandling of records that should have been kept. There have been calls by Democratic state lawmakers to audit this charade over the last 14 months. And I fear that that audit's not going to be possible, not because of the political will not being there. The Republican legislature would have to sign off on it. It's not even going to be possible because I don't know how many records actually exist.
The data isn't there anymore. It's not there.
It's insane to think that this guy...
$1 million unaccounted for.
More than $1 million.
Yeah. More unaccounted for.
When all is said and done, I don't think it's that obscene to say that we're going to be anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million on this whole thing.
Easy.
It's going to, there are still numerous court cases that need to be cleaned up, attorney's fees that need to be paid. The attorneys working on those cases for both American Oversight, the watchdog group that was seeking these open records, and for Gableman got to pick out his own lawyer and was paying him $450 an hour to represent Gableman in these open records lawsuits that he was getting his clock cleaned in because he didn't keep the records. How did Robin Voss just be like, oh yeah, you can spend up to $450 per hour on an attorney to represent you in these cases? How is...
At this point, you're going to have to convince me that records exist at all. I believe the only work he did was heading down to that convalescent home.
We've seen receipts, so we know that he actually
spent money.
Well, yeah. We know that there's been and it took a couple months for him to be able to even set up an office in Brookfield, and then that was thrown into chaos as well, and so we know that where some of the money was going to be spent or was spent, but we're not ever going to be able to account for the total cost of this circus, because Robin Voss allowed it to get to this point. Like, yes, there is a certain amount of blame that you can put on Gableman just for being a buffoon, but for greenlighting that to happen for 14 months after publicly seeing what Gableman was doing, Robin Voss allowed it to happen until it was no longer politically feasible for him to continue it to happen. Like, that is what it comes down to. Robin Voss was okay with everything Gableman was doing up to the point where Gableman endorsed Voss's primary opponent and Voss nearly lost. That was the deal breaker. None of the other aspects of what Gableman did got him fired, which would have been fireable offenses for any one of us. If
anybody acted... borderline criminal.
Yeah. If anyone listening to this show right now went into their workplace and acted in accordance the way that Michael Gableman acted over the last 14 months, you would have been referred to for criminal charges by your employer. It would have just, you would have been easily referred to a local district attorney, local prosecutors for fraud. And Robin Voss was A-okay with all of that until all of a sudden, politically, it didn't make sense for him anymore. Well, not even that it didn't make sense anymore, because he's still pursuing the big lie. He's still pursuing these like restrictions on voting here in the state of Wisconsin. He's just not going to do it with Gableman anymore. Gableman won't be the vehicle because he endorsed Voss's primary opponent. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got to head back to the phone lines. Got our friend Andy up in Beaver Dam calling in. Andy, what's on your mind today?
Well, as to the Gableman fiasco, the citizens or the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin became victims again, with over $1 million spent on a wild goose chase or the big lie. And I don't know really how, I don't know what you do with that. You know, I mean, there won't be any consequences evidently to that, I don't think, and so forth. The other thing I wanted to mention, Luke, off air, Evan and I were talking about the Eagles ballroom, the rave, and you reiterated that when you were 15, you lost your brother in the floor, and I remember I was down there to see George Clinton in 2009. And,
I remember that show. I didn't go, but I remember the show.
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, I'm into Funkadelic, but anyway. Standing on the floor, and you got to consider, I was standing on there for 4 hours, like everybody else, you know. And by the time I got out of that, oh my God, I'm exhausted here, you know.
Because, oh yeah.
But the venue is the sound in the place is probably not the best.
Not in the Eagles ballroom. The basement sounds really,
really
good.
Oh yeah, the basement.
Good.
The basement's so much fun. But you got to catch a young and up and coming artist there. You can't necessarily go for a big name because that basement getting packed just gets insane. Appreciate the call, Andy. Yeah, the Eagles ballroom. Any show at the rave, I would always have to. You'd hit up the Taco Bell on 27th Street on the way home.
Yeah.
You got to recharge, refuel, some late night Taco Bell, and a Gatorade or two, because you had to recharge and get those electrolytes in.
Oh, yeah.
Rehydrate. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Appreciate the call, Andy. It's we're never going to know the aftermath, or the total ramifications of the Gableman saga. We're not, because it was allowed to go on for this long. We're not going to have all the receipts, because I don't think, like Evan said, I don't think they exist in a lot of the instances. So we're not going to get a true tally. And again, as I talked about yesterday, there's not going to be legal liability for these Republicans doing these crazy things. There's political liability. They need to be held politically accountable at the ballot box. That is where the accountability will be had. This is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789.